Last week, I was sitting on my couch watching TV when I heard a faint, low rumble coming from my youngest beagle, Amelia. I knew what that rumble meant. I'd heard it many times before. It's one of the first indicators that she is anxious. And if left unchecked, the low rumble will intensify into a warning growl that will last only as long as it will take for her to launch herself off the couch and prevent Gus, my other beagle, or Dexter the cat from coming any closer. Thankfully, due to proper medication, this sort of thing doesn't happen very often, but every now and again, Amelia's anxiety gets the best of her, sometimes threatening to hurt the brothers she really loves. Simply because her anxiety lies to her and tells her that they are a threat. It really only happens when there is a human near her, which makes it seem as if her anxiety is something about being territorial of the love and the affection of the human next to her. As if Amelia believes that there isn't enough love for both her and her siblings. When Amelia is anxious, she believes in, she trusts only the scarcity, not the abundance, of my love and affection. And even though she loves and trusts me with her whole heart, in those moments, there's nothing that I can do to convince her otherwise. Which is the same sort of mindset, being steeped in the belief that there is a scarcity of resources and love with little ability to see otherwise, that hardens Pharaoh's heart in today's text from Exodus. And to understand how that came to be, we need to go further back in the story, back to when abundance was the primary force. As author and scholar Walter Brueggemann describes this transition, he says, God blesses Abraham, Sarah, and their family. God tells them to be a blessing, to bless the people of all nations. Blessing is the force of well-being active in the world, and faith is the awareness that creation is the gift that keeps on giving. That awareness dominates Genesis until its 47th chapter. In that chapter, Pharaoh dreams that there will be a famine in the land. And so Pharaoh gets organized to administer, control, and monopolize the food supply. Pharaoh introduces the principle of scarcity into the world. For the first time in the Bible, someone says that there's not enough. Let's get everything. Because Pharaoh is afraid that there aren't enough good things to go around, he must try to have them all. Because he is fearful, he is ruthless. Pharaoh hires Joseph to manage the monopoly. When the crops fail and the peasants run out of food, they come to Joseph. And on behalf of Pharaoh, Joseph says, "What's your collateral?" They give up their land for food, and then the next year they give up their cattle. By the third year of the famine, they have no collateral but themselves. And that's how the children of Israel became slaves, through an economic transaction. Even after the famine ends, Pharaoh keeps living in fear that there will not be enough. Even when Moses and his brother Aaron show up and tell him that there will be, his heart is hard because of the fear in his life. And it threatens to unravel God's plan for freedom. As I consider Pharaoh's fear and Amelia's anxiety, I cannot help but think about how much fear and scarcity culture pervades the way that we live and fuels our own decisions. It's as obvious as thinking back about a year when we lined up outside stores before they opened in hopes of scoring just 6 rolls of toilet paper. Or the gas shortage that happened a few months back, that out of fear of not having any, people bought so much that there wasn't enough. but it extends deeper than that. This area in particular generates a culture where there's a desire to get a child into the right preschool so they can go to the right high school, which will ensure that they will attend the prestigious college that they wish to. And that scarcity culture then creates a scarcity of its own as parents apply to a dozen or more preschools in an effort to secure a spot. We accumulate wealth to save for a rainy day that may not come. Or we believe that there is not enough love or affirmation to go around, and so we cut others down in order to feel better about ourselves. We deny that privilege exists and racism still has sway in our lives, because those of us with more power and privilege are worried that we will somehow be valued less. Out of our fear that there will not be enough, we often find ourselves living in ways that oppress others and even ourselves. We have valued abundance too low, not trusting that God can provide, giving far too much power to the idea that there will not be enough. Yet it is abundance that God does provide, or at the very least, enough. There is enough for Pharaoh, and there is enough for the Israelites. There's enough for us too. Furthermore, God will go to great lengths to ensure that we know that, and that we trust it, that we trust God and what God can provide. We know, those of us who have heard the Exodus story before, we know the end of this story with Pharaoh, that his heart is hard through 9 of the plagues, great displays of power by God to try and convince Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. But the 10th plague breaks Pharaoh's heart wide open, and he lets the people go. We also know that God's relentlessness does not stop with that 10th plague, that God will come to live among us in Jesus and then go into death, into the worst, most unsavory parts of our lives with us, so that we are never alone in them. And that where there is death and decay, is out of that that God has the power to create new life. That wherever God is, there will always be enough, because that is where love is. And there's always enough love. That is what we will affirm this morning as we wash Maggie in the waters of baptism, that there will always be enough love for her and for us, and that it is a daily struggle for us to say no to the power of scarcity, sin, death, and the devil, and then a yes to what is already real, the love and the claim that comes from God. God is relentless in freeing us from our fear and our anxiety, relentless in saving us just as God was relentless in freeing the children of Israel from enslavement, relentless in showing us that we can trust that there will always be enough, enough of what we need each day, always.